Hello and welcome to Kingdom Life Radio. This is Kenny Hebert, and I have Joe Green with me, the pastor for the Second Baptist Church in South Hadley. And we've been going through a series from his sermon series from the summer on the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to be talking about how the Spirit transforms and empowers us to live. So where are we going with this today, Joe?
But we are switching up gears a little bit in that the last several weeks we've talked about the Spirit empowers us, gifts us, right? Gives us good gifts to extend his kingdom. So we've talked about miracles and prophecy and many different actions. But today we're shifting gears and more talking about that transformation that happens, that the Spirit doesn't just empower us to do supernatural things, but the Spirit also supernaturally transforms us from the inside out, and so that some of the fruit of the Spirit that we'll talk about is when we look at them, those are character transformation,
right? Yeah.
Not necessarily deeds, but yeah, a transformation of the character. And the scripture that we're going to focus on that talks about, you know, fruit of the Spirit and transformation is in Galatians. So would you like to read that, Kenny? Galatians chapter 5. 16 through 26.
Yeah, I'll do that. It reads, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Yeah, so this particular scripture, there's so much in here. I just want to point out a couple of things to begin. The first is that notice he talks about the works of the flesh, and then he lists some things. And those things are a combination of actions, but also attitudes. So we have actions like, you know, drunkenness or orgies and stuff. But then we also have like emotions, character things like jealousy, fits of anger. And so those are the works of the flesh. But then when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, what's interesting is then these are all character qualities. Like in his list of fruit of the Spirit, he doesn't talk about actions or actual works. It's more of the character qualities of transformation that, of course, will issue in doing different things. But the list, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, those aren't works. Like those are character qualities.
Yeah.
So I think it's just interesting in that how the works of the flesh, there's a mix, but in the fruit, he focuses on the character. And that's why we talk about, you know, the transformation, that the Spirit transforms us, because when we're walking by the Spirit, and this is what this passage instructs us to walk by the Spirit, we won't gratify the deeds of the flesh. It talks about, well, when we walk in the Spirit transforms us. So it's not like, oh, I've got to try harder to do this or do that. It's rather he transforms us, so we actually want to do what God wants us to do. We actually reflect him naturally.
Yeah. I just think that the fruit is, it's not something we produce. It's the fruit the Spirit produces in us and changing. And so I just, when we were reading, I think against such things, there's no law. There's nothing going to be spoken. If we have these character traits that the Spirit God is producing in us, there's no law that needs to be concerned about, because we're going to fulfill the law. We're going to live what God requires of us.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's just so important, because there's so many Christians and folks that they misunderstand the nature of Christianity and think about, well, it's really about like any other religion, that you have a whole lot of stuff you're supposed to do and not do. And we don't really want to do it, but we do it because, you know, we're supposed to, and we're afraid of hell. When that's not the Christian faith. The Christian faith, as it says here, is there's an inner transformation, so that even the things we want, even the things, our personalities change, so that we love more, that we, all these fruit of the Spirit, we have more joy, peace, patience. And it's not because we try harder. It's not, as you said, our work. It's the Spirit that works these things naturally in us, so that in addition to saying, wow, the Spirit empowers us to whatever, speak in tongues or prophesy or whatever. Well, the Spirit also empowers us by transforming us, so that we love more, we have more peace and joy and all of this. And I think that's an important emphasis, because we often so much focus on the doing or don't doing.
Mm-hmm. The word I'm seeing right now as I'm looking at the scripture is, but I say walk.
Yes.
In the Spirit. And just the thought that with that word walk, and people, it doesn't mean we have a certain gait in our walk so that we look like the Holy Spirit walking around. No. What does that word walk mean? You know, so go ahead. You should say that.
And it's interesting, like this is where you can tell Paul's Semitic background, where if you look in the Old Testament, it talks about walking, like that somebody walked with the Lord. And really, it's that, as it's come over to the Greek too, it's that walking is living. It's just a euphemism for living. But it really emphasizes that day to day, so that when you're living, what you're walking, you're taking steps each day. And it's not just a general concept of, oh, life in general, like breath I breathe. It's more of, no, it's life is every day decision, every place you go, every person you meet. And that's why they use this term, you know, walk, just to mean live, you know. So when we're living by the Spirit, we're walking by the Spirit, so that everything we do, every interaction we have is actually, you know, empowered and changed because we're filled with the Spirit.
Yeah. Just as you said, what does it mean then in a practical way? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? You know, when we're talking about, like you said, moment by moment. So are we supposed to be like every moment of our life really so like consumed by, okay, am I walking by the Spirit? Or what does that really mean? Because what would life be like if it would be like we're under a law of like being so conscious of the Spirit all the time? But that's not what he's saying, right? But so what is he saying in those moments?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with, again, I'm using the same word, but walking in the promises of God, meaning that you receive the gift, you receive the promise. So when we talk back in Acts chapter 2, when the apostle Peter, when the day of Pentecost, he says, this promise is for you and all who are after you, all who will call on the name of the Lord Jesus. A part of it is to realize and to accept the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. And with that, you step out in faith in his presence. So it's kind of like, you know, you walk differently, you live differently, right? If you're walking along the street by yourself, as opposed to if you're walking with your wife, right?
Yeah. Like
there's a difference there. And so although this is kind of like mysterious, it's the same with the Spirit. So I think the first step is to actually acknowledge and realize, wait a minute, I'm not walking alone. I've got received the Holy Spirit. So therefore I'm going to, I'm walking with somebody here. And just like if, you know, we're walking down the street and there's the ice cream truck comes by, you know, I'll ask my wife, hey, you want me to flag that ice cream truck down? whereas it's different. If I'm by myself, I'm not asking, you know, I don't need to talk to anybody. And so although it seems like a very simple thing, I think it's a very profound thing to walk in the Spirit, is that conscious acknowledgement of his presence in such a way that it changes how you interact with the world around you.
Yeah. I just think too, as we're talking, as a younger Christian, it's almost like, I'm just saying from personal experience, I think as younger Christian, almost have to actively really engage with thinking that way.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But I think as we walk with the Lord longer, there is just I guess the word might be paradigm that we don't have to acknowledge that. It's this, we're without consciously thinking about it. We are thinking about it. We just live that way. Just as we, you know, it's like when you get married and you move into together, well, we got to learn to live together.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and it is a reality that you're there with somebody, but after time, you're so used to you have like, you know, each other's thoughts, you know, each other's life, what you do, your routines and how you speak and how each other hears each other. It's the same thing with walking in spirit, but we have to, I think at some point in this beginning, it's really a very conscious effort. But we have to be, even with that, I think we have to be responsive. Even though we don't produce the fruit, the work is, we're walking with him. And just as he says, that the desires of the flesh, there's a constant tension. There's a constant opposition between both. And the enemy is going to be constantly trying to pull us into these things. Like as a Peter talked when he shared on this, he called them landmines.
Right.
We have to be conscious, aware of those landmines, especially certain triggers we all have. And we're different ones we each have. But being aware of those and in those moments, recognizing them for what they are and looking to the Holy Spirit for help and dependence on him. So there's that whole thing. It's like, not like, well, we're never going to have to deal with temptation. That would be nice, but that doesn't usually happen. It's, you know, we're dealing with it the rest of our life. There's this constant battle. And how do we respond in the moments, in those moments is really turning to the Holy Spirit, because like previous times we're talking about is responding to the Holy Spirit as he's showing what God's doing.
Right.
Now we're talking about responding to the Holy Spirit when the enemy shows up and is tempting us and working and trying to fight against what God may be trying to do in our life.
Yeah. So
there's a conscious response to acknowledge I can't do this on my own. And that's a whole nother thing. I think we have to learn that sometimes in the very beginning, I can take care of this.
Right.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you know, you saved me, but I'm good here. It doesn't work that way. It's constant dependence on the Holy Spirit too.
That's right. And these landmines too, we have to, because I was just talking with a couple of folks this week, someone who kind of stepped on a landmine and I said, well, no, this is where your reaction to that is so important. Because some people step on a landmine, like, oh, my leg's been blown off, so I better go heal before I go to God, you know, because I wasn't supposed to do this. I knew God didn't want me to do this. And it's almost like Adam and Eve hiding themselves in the garden. And that's what I just emphasized, that, okay, yes, these landmines do separate us from God. Like, they're works of the flesh. They're not works of the spirit. They interrupt our fellowship with God. But if we step on one, then the next thing the enemy wants us to do is be like, oh yeah, you better run away from God because you done messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's this is when we go to God. This is when, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we go to him, we claim his forgiveness, you know, we repent and ask him to restore us. And in that process, we actually learn about how He is faithful and just.
Yeah.
And how he's loving and kind, and that he's forgiving, and that grows our relationship. So that's also, I mean, kind of ironically, one way to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the deeds of the flesh is to constantly go to God in a spirit of, you know, of repentance and asking his help. And I think you had a scripture, the 1 John 1:9, that whole section.
Yeah.
I think speaks to, like, all right, well, how do we walk in the Spirit? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
Did you want to share that? Do you have it handy?
Yeah, I was also when you were talking about how, like, Adam and Eve hid.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, like, and you were talking about, you know, how God loves us. And even when we talk about the Spirit's transforming us. He's not transforming us. Okay, you messed up. Now I'm done with you.
Right.
It's really, I think there's a process in this for us to learn the character of God. The same fruit he's trying to work in us. First one is love.
Yes.
He's wanting us to learn and know him personally. Like Christianity, sometimes it becomes about like doing the works, going to church, doing the activities, doing the religious programs. And not that we shouldn't be involved in those, but sometimes those become the thing that we think fixes everything.
Right.
Not about knowing the character of our Father. And what does God do when Adam and Eve are hiding? Where are you?
Mm-hmm.
He was inviting them, like, you've forgotten who I am.
Right.
And the same thing is, if we mess up, we step on those landmines, we tend to hide, or we tend to like want to, you try to fix it. All the different response we have. But as we grow with Christ, who's learning, even as he's developing character in us, he's wanting us to see the character of his heart for us. Right. I think it's something that those that are hearing us, some people struggle with stepping on the landmines and thinking, like, even as it reads, like, if those that do such things don't want to inherit the kingdom of God. But God's grace is greater than us and our mistakes. And John talks about those that practice sin is one thing, but those that do think sin is a whole different thing. And so when we step on the landmine, we're trying to follow God, and we do that mistake. That sin, and we need to learn the character of the God he's calling out to us. Come, don't hide. Come, this is the time to come and actually experience the forgiveness that can come by us being humble and repentant to God. And it's really learning us how to learn by the walk by Spirit, also to know his character. I think that's something sometimes we miss in that, is we're figuring out, like, well, this is what we got to produce. Well, we can't produce it anyways. Right. So he wants to produce it in us, but he wants us to know that when we mess up, his character hasn't changed toward us, and he keeps calling us to him to walk with him. And now I'll read that one from his 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We'll just read that one there. Just as if we walk in the light, what's that mean to walk in the light? And it is part of this walking in the light of who he is.
Yes.
The truth of his character. You know, in another part it talks about he's faithful and just to forgive us. What does it mean God's just to forgive us? He died for us. And in that justice that was served through Christ, he can be just to us. He did that on purpose. So he could actually forgive us. So it's really a display of his character. So it's like when we walk in the Spirit and walk in the light, is walking in the truth of who he is, right, and his character towards us. But when I was a young Christian, I mean, I thought of God as like he was this kind of old grandfatherly type figure that was off in the sky, and he's there with a big hammer waiting for me to make a mistake to pound me in the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, my idea of God beforehand, but it took a while to get past that, and realizing now, no, he's not like that. He's quite different than that.
Right. Right. And I think, too, we have this thinking of, okay, I've done a deed of the flesh. Well, then shouldn't that just show us all the more we need more Spirit?
yes.
Show us more, because it says if you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And we're in that already, not yet time, as we've talked about.
That's
principle of this whole series, is that yes, we already have the Holy Spirit of God and we are being transformed into his likeness, but we're not yet complete and we're not yet totally rid of sinful flesh. We will be remade and we'll have, you know, physical bodies and all, but they'll be glorified and all that stuff, but it's that already not yet. So in that tension, if we see a work of the flesh, again, that just shows we need more of the Spirit in our lives.
Mm, so yeah.
How do we do that? Well, then, as you just said, we walk into the light. We draw closer to the light. But it's so hard. And I've experienced it, too. It's so hard to get that into our head, because we do have that tendency to run away, mm-hmm. from God. And those scriptures, too, of... like you're just talking about, those who do things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I had another conversation with someone this week who talked about that scripture, and we'll actually be covering it this week in the church service their son will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, I never knew you.
Yeah.
And so that goes towards, maybe from going on a tangent, but that also goes towards that idea of, okay, just empowerment you know, by the Spirit. In this case, it wouldn't be by the Spirit, but you know, that sometimes we focus on casting out demons and prophesying works of the flesh. And yet Jesus said, these things don't, these have maybe a supernatural origin, but they don't necessarily have the origin in the Spirit of God. So that it really is about knowing God, right? Because it, just as you said, knowing Him, being transformed by the Spirit so that we obey and yeah, are transformed from the inside out. So that's why this part of any series on the Holy Spirit is so important, this transformation aspect, because if we just focus on the works, right, then that undermines what the Spirit is trying to do holistically in us and transforming us.
Yeah. And when I was reading a scripture about walking in light as He is in light, we have fellowship with one another. Mm-hmm. And lots of times people see that as meaning like, oh, we have fellowship with one another, meaning all the other Christians. But He's really talking also about having, we have fellowship with one another, meaning with God.
Mm, yeah.
A sense of fellowship, this intimate relationship. If we walk in the light, walk in the truth of who He is, and responding to Him and being actively engaged with Him, we have fellowship. We have this relationship with Him. And there's something, the work of the Holy Spirit, He's working in us, but there's this responsiveness on our part to be submissive to the work He's doing. Yeah. And that's part of the fellowship part. And as we grow, you know, first couple of years as a Christian, we're struggling through that. And 30 years later, there's a sense of, like there's a sense of partnership with God, not like, you know, like you're earning something, but your sense of like you're really connected to Him, and that's about walking. So it's there's one thing walking in the Spirit when you're a new Christian, you're it's what you know, it's like new babies, but as you're older, in this sense of the fellowship that's maintained through that walking, just that sense that I guess that partnership, there's your the intimacy that comes with walking with Him in the Spirit. But the enemy tries to derail that. But the thing is we can't fix it in the first place. So we have to come right back to Him. Right. He's the one that He restores it immediately.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's also, I'm reading it. Some people think, well, see, I can do whatever I want. See, and I'll just say, I'm sorry. I'm good to go. There's a scripture a little further on. John says, I'm writing this thing to you, so that you don't sin.
Right.
But if you do, you have an advocate.
Yes.
And so he's writing about this, you know, walking in the light. But he's saying, I'm not saying it so you can just be free to do whatever you want. He's writing it so you don't sin. But if you do, know that we have an advocate, someone who's on our side to draw us right back in. So, well, Joe, now we've talked a lot about, you know, the Spirit transforming us and developing this character, this fruit of the Spirit in us. And we've hit a couple of scriptures, but I just want to reference a couple and then go. Let's talk about what community impact has on us as developing the character of the Holy Spirit. And there's a couple of references from Ephesians chapter 5, 18, talks about, you know, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. There's John chapter 15, where it talks about abiding in the vine is one. There's Colossians 3, 16 through 17, or even Psalm 1, 1 through 3, or some scripture verses I just want to give to people to look at and read on their own about cultivating that character, working with the Holy Spirit and being submissive of what He's doing. But there's something about the character that comes from being in community with others. You know, how does that impact being a part of a good, healthy community of Christians?
Yeah, well, there's several scriptures that come to mind. The first one actually is John 17, with Jesus' high priestly prayer, when he's, you know, praying a final prayer over his disciples. He's about to, you know, be arrested and go away. And he's praying, Lord, I pray that they would be one as I am one, I and them and you and me. And he talks about, first of all, God being present in the disciples through the Holy Spirit, but then also that community of oneness that God Himself enjoys in eternity as a triune God, the three in one. So that kind of strikes my mind in saying, all right, and Jesus prayed that we would be unified and we would the world would know that we're his followers by our love for one another. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So yeah, that really a lot of the cultivation of these things happen in community, because how do we grow in love? Well, love has an object, right? Yes, we love God,
yeah,
but we also love people. And so you can't actually love a person without a person, you know? You can't forgive someone. You can't grow in your forgiveness unless you actually forgive someone. So if we're going to reflect God and his forgiveness, well, that means, you know, that takes other people patience. Or, you know, how do you grow patience? It's, well, because people test it. So almost all of these happen in community. And Jesus prays for that in John 17. And often we look at other people in our community, sometimes they rub us the wrong way or whatever. And we need to realize that God is using them to build godly character in us. I mean, he's long-suffering towards us, so that there's always those folks in our community that we really connect with and we enjoy and all of that stuff. And that's good. But we also should realize that even in the struggles or the difficulties in community, even then the Spirit's doing a work in us to become more Christ-like.
Yeah. I'm just thinking there's people like me hearing what you're saying, and they're throwing like, really? You mean I really have to do that? Come on. And like, I don't want to do that. And it doesn't happen any other way.
Yes.
And even when, and as we're talking about people thinking like, well, you don't know the struggles we have. Me and Joe know the struggles. We've been people, I mean, just human in nature before Christians, is knowing that people rub us the wrong way. And there's people that we think, oh, it's only the ones we get along with strengthen us.
Yes.
No, it's not. It's all. And God's purposely set people in our life to develop each other and make us humble, needing to actually listen to people and hear them out, and not just with words, but with their life, and how to respond. And it's really, it's like when he says about loving one another, he's not just saying, he's not having this like, you know, these like these this emotional feeling for people.
Right.
He's talking about in truth and in deed and works, and that takes community, and that's God's wanting to really make us to be like Jesus. It's going to take a community to do that.
So, yeah. And so just as we talked about, it takes the community in terms of gifting. We all have different gifts and all of that stuff. Well, it's the same with the transformation of the Spirit, right? So the Spirit gives different gifts to different people for the body. Well,
the
Spirit also uses the community to transform us. So we shouldn't be surprised that, oh, the Spirit works this way, you know, just in here and here. No, it's often the same, even though the transformation and the empowerment, there's still works of the Spirit, and they're still done most, you know, in community.
Yeah. And there's the last verse that we read from Galatians chapter 5 is verse 26. It closes with Paul writes, he says, so let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another.
Yeah.
So he's talking about this fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, all those. And then he ends with, don't become conceited. Don't become proud. Don't become arrogant. And then provoke one another. Don't do things that provoke one another to the landmines. But it's, you know, and this is, and don't envy.
Mm.
Don't envy. I mean, it's like, it's, it, you know, and one of the works of flesh was rivalry.
Yes.
This contrast. So he's knowing the character we can only fall into. And he's like, okay, here's the fruit. And there's the other character. Here's these three things. Make sure you don't fall into these things. Don't let yourself become these. Because that's what happens in community.
Yeah.
We're prone to that as we're trying to work through those things together. And so it's a warning.
It is. And it says, don't provoke one another. So that means that if you're like, oh, well, Kenny and Joe said that, you know, I'm building your character by really, you know, annoying you and stuff. It's like, no. So it says, do not provoke one another. It's unintentional, but don't intentionally be messing with
your character. And Hebrew says, stir one another to love and good deeds.
That's right.
So, but we got to come to a close. We only got a few seconds. So if you want to listen to this again, you can hear it on letyourkingdomcome.com or sbcsouthhadley.com. Until next week, God bless.